Step into the wealth elevator and join our 12,000 plus member community who have passively invested over $200 million to acquire over $2.1 billion in commercial real estate. Sign up by going to thewealthelevator.com/club. And here we go.
Hey folks, on today's podcast, we're going to be doing a coaching call, but a little bit of announcements. We're going to be unveiling the new Infinite Banking e-course. I put this together to, because got a lot of questions on infinite banking. I think a lot of you guys listen to this stuff on a podcast and you hear all the benefits of it. A lot of benefits, a lot of high net worth investors do it. I think every investor over $1 million net worth should definitely have some sort of infinite banking policy. But it's not all sunshine and rainbows, as you guys know. I do it. So at the end of the day, I think the benefits outweigh the cons. But get yourself educated. Check out our info page at simplepassivecashflow.com/banking to learn more there. Get free access to that e-course. Probably take you guys about a couple hours to get through. But again, that's free. Check that out there. We're also going to be doing a boot camp on one of these weekends. So make sure you guys sign up there. Get on the email list by going to simplepassivecashflow.com/club to get the invite to that free weekend bootcamp. And some other things that I'm following other than the Delta spike in COVID cases, Peter Thiel, he screwed it up for everybody. If you guys don't know the story, but Peter Thiel basically stuffed his Roth IRA with a whole bunch of severely undervalued stocks, B-shares, whatever you call it. But basically, he pissed off the government. And now the government is tightening a lot of these self-directed IRA and pretty much screwing everybody, even doing the regular Roth and regular IRA. We'll see what happens. Who knows? They might put a cap on the Roth. Say, one thing I'm looking for is they might be putting like an appraisal requirement on all your assets in there, where they make you get the $5,000 appraisal fee, which would pretty much kibosh the whole point. You're going to have to pay so much in fees. But I'm looking for this in the next RISE Act, something that was put on the halts when Trump was in office, but is coming back up. Of course, it's going to be sold as, I forget what RISE stands for, but it's, hey, let's help Americans save money by changing a bunch of the ways that the self-directed IRAs, et cetera, work. But I think it's going to screw a lot of you more sophisticated investors up. I don't do any retirement accounts. I don't know why anybody really does it if you invest in real estate. If you guys do crypto, I'd probably do it on crypto, but check out my long list of reasons why at simplepassivecashflow.com/QRP. But be on the lookout for that infrastructure bill. I'm actually pretty bullish overall. The recession is over. The world's shortest recession of what, like 2 months or something like that is over. And it looks like rents are coming back up. I think the rent moratoriums, how they stay how they are always offers stability. I feel bad for the small landlords. It's the small landlords who are put in a hard space once all these moratorium are up and things start to open up. Whereas on the larger apartments, the commercial property managers have a lot more tools at their disposal to adequately protect ourselves, the landlords. Be on the lookout for the RISE Act, the SECURE Act, whatever they're going to call the infrastructure bill. And then some of you smart investors out there that utilize the whole buying something under market in your IRA, swapping it over to Roth, that little chickaroo you guys like to do that I think is a little risky, I think might be definitely going away, as they might put in some kind of nasty language in the RISE Act where they're saying you cannot buy things under fair market value, and which makes no sense if you're a real estate investor. You're always buying under fair market value. But anyway, we'll try and be on the lookout together. And if you guys want some more of these insider tips, join our family office, Ohana Mastermind. Go to simplepassivecashflow.com/journey and enjoy the show.
This is a story about a dude named Lane. He moved to the mainland and bought one place to stay. And then one day he went and tried to rent them out. And then he became one real investor man.
We are going to be doing a coaching call with $1 million, we'll just call it that. Call it $1 million net worth investor. Chris, he's been part of the Huida Pipeline Club for quite a while.
About 2016, yeah.
Yeah, I always remember when we have calls, and I remember we were talking when I was at my past day job.
Back when you used to live here. Yeah.
So why don't you give us a little context on yourself? You're up there in Washington, where I used to be.
I live in the Northwest. Like you said, I work in the power industry as a technician there, electrical test guy. Then we have two kids. My wife works too. We own a business also, and started chugging along on real estate pretty much when I started talking to you back in 2016. Had done a lot of actual like futures trading and other types like stock investing, hoping that would set me free, and learned a lot. And then my neighbor's house came up for sale, and I started looking seriously into what it would take to have rental properties, and dove into like Bigger Pockets and your website at the time, or your podcast, and just tons of podcasts, and got fired up on it, looking at the slower moving animal that is real estate investing.
What made you finally get rid of like the stocks and options and all that type of stuff?
I don't do it anymore. It was definitely time consuming, and it was really, it just seems so unpredictable just trying to chug along. I was doing option selling and trying to do that monthly income model, and it just never really seemed to, it was so volatile and just not a lot of fun trying to sleep and doing that thing. I just ended up really, the fire got lit by this house that was right by me here, which I did not buy, but it got the fire lit, and I just started digging and ended up, I got into a turnkey, if you want to chat about that for a minute.
Why did you not end up buying that rental nearby?
The whole Bigger Pockets land and the financial calculators that you get, the 1% rule is really why I did it. And honestly, it would have been a good deal for us just because of speculation, and the houses have gone crazy around us, but you don't know. And so that's the very first thing you learn, you know, go for cash flow. It would have been a break-even deal for us as far as the rents, barely making it, making no cash flow, but it would have been a great speculation as far as appreciation. And you don't know that, and no one tells you to do that.
People invest that way, right? Buy low, sell high, go on appreciation. Yeah. If you're bleeding cash a little bit every month, most people, that's how they invest.
I guess I got talked out of it just because I'd done the speculation thing with the stock trading and stuff. And so I wasn't really interested in speculating anymore. I was interested in cash flow. And so I ended up not pulling the trigger on that deal. And then really did a ton of there's a ton of podcasts on turnkey investing and retail turnkey thing. And I ended up all over looking at tons of different stuff. And really, I just pulled the trigger on something after a while. I was like, I'm just going to do this. It seemed like a huge deal at the time. It really wasn't. Now, in hindsight, if you have a good operator, even though you're paying retail, it still works. It still makes money every month. So I've been in that for 4 years now. I mean, it's just been, you know, chugging along. For better or worse, there's been nothing to do. That's where I'm at. But I was not tempted to buy anymore. There was a fire lit pretty quickly by thinking about multifamily and mobile home parks in particular. And I went down that path. That's been a 2-year journey of being involved in that.
Let's catch people up on where we are in the scorecard here, because this is what all really matters, is what your net worth is. Your net worth is just shy of under $1 million, just call it that on a good day. You've been pretty good with your money, right? Like most people in our group, compiled a bunch of assets, have your liabilities in order. Now let's take a snapshot of like your monthly velocity. You make a pretty good salary, $9,000 a month. You've got some real estate income. The important thing here is your net cash flow, $3,600 a month. But you're able to put away and save maybe $40,000 a year. Is that about right?
Yeah, I would say that would probably be about right. That'd be probably max right now. And depending on, this has nothing to do with the business that we own right now, what you're seeing here. I would say 40 is a good number right now.
We work with hardworking professionals looking to opt out of investments for the clueless. I mean, mainstream investing. We work with people we have a direct relationship while enjoying higher returns and a quicker path to financial freedom. I personally moved my endorsement from turnkey rentals to syndications as my net worth has grown. However, the downside of many of these deals is that you need at least $50,000 to invest, and the frequency of deals that meet my criteria is sporadic. Check out my article at simplepassivecashflow.com/OFund and learn how I always have cash on hand by using the American Home Preservation Fund as part of this 1-2 punch to be ready for a great deal while still making a double-digit return. I have been investing in AHP since 2016. AHP is a crowdfunding solution to the mortgage crisis in America, where collectively, the fund and investors, like you, pull their money together and get great bulk discounts on distressed mortgages. It's a business model that I think gets stronger should a bump in the economy come, because this is where there will be even more distressed inventory for AHP to purchase. The American Home Preservation Fund aims to keep people in their homes so you can make a 10% return while making a positive social impact. Invest in as little as $100 by going to ahpservicing.com/investors. And if you want the free Burn Zone book and learn about George Newberry's story, please send me an email at lane@simplepassivecashflow.com.
I like to buy stuff.
Well, that's a liability.
That's awesome. You're not making a huge salary like some of these other guys, but you're definitely in the average of where people are saving. Most guys are between $30,000 to $50,000 a year. And at that point, you're moving at a pretty good clip. You're not buying a syndication or two every year, or two syndications or more, or three houses every year, but you're steadily making progress. And at this rate, you'd probably be a lot different financial situation. I don't know if you're going to be financially free in 5 years, but you're definitely getting there, probably going to be there in like under 10. It all matters on your living expenses. And I know the picture here, I can just guess from seeing so many financial profiles like this. Like, I'm sure you could tighten the belt a little bit, but you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and you're going to coast in there. You don't need to live in ramen noodles.
No, we don't. We have some perspective on that for sure.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to live a little bit, but it's like just, right. It's as you lay out the plan, the tightening may occur or may not.
When we talked a long time ago, you were doing the turnkey stuff. I think that's what connected us in the universe. And then you went off the simple passive cash flow registrar. You became more of a do-it-yourselfer kind of guy. Tell us how that little experiment went. What did you go on by? What did you do?
I wandered up. I got very interested in the mobile home park thing. And it's why I got interested in it, because when you look at mobile home parks, what's interesting about them is that they can be passive in some respects. If the mobile home park is all tenant-owned homes. That is a really cool model where the person that lives there owns their own home. They just collect, you rent the dirt to them, and you just maintain the property. That's not the park that we bought. We definitely saw the lure of the higher rents from owning homes. So we bought a park. I have a partner on it. It's just two of us. We bought a park that has 25-ish tenant, or I'm sorry, we own 25 of the homes. It's a lot of work as far as just keeping people in. It's a low-income housing community is what it is. I've learned a ton about it. I definitely get that the tenants own their own homes. I don't even know their names, barely. I say that. It's like they're really super easy. They just do their thing, take care of their house. They pay me rent every month. You run into problems at a mobile home park when you're wanting people to collect rent and they don't own the house and they trash it. You may have said this before, but it's like pig pen or something. They go crazy. And so you get to rehab or do a rent-to-own handyman special kind of stuff. Doing a lot of that stuff pretty much every couple months with turnover. But the other thing I've learned is that low-income housing is high demand and we never have an issue with vacancy. But you'll have vacancy just because you're turning one over, just cleaning it up. But really, it is pretty incredible. I've seen the whole thing and I do realize that I'd prefer to be more of a passive investor at this point in my life. It's something you're always thinking about when it's yours and you're the operator, you're everything, when you're communicating with the manager and doing all that. That's that story.
The partner you went into, was he more sophisticated? Did he have operator experience with the stuff?
No, we were both just interested in doing it. Had done like the kind of a academy mobile home park boot camp stuff. Exactly. Just pretty much just fired up newbies and dove in. And the person we bought it from was super helpful. That was probably the easy part. Honestly, we had that person helping us. And they had tons of properties in that area. They just held our hand on it and we got going that way. And that was the story.
I will say like that the mobile home park education out there, there's only one group that does it, but they actually do a pretty good job of actually teaching it to you. It's a shame that, there's a plethora of multifamily gurus teaching it, but they only teach how to buy the properties. Oh. None of them actually teach you how to operate it because a lot of them have been operated the damn thing, our own rental or own multifamily in reality. But I think Frank and Dave do a pretty good job. And
you get a lot of operation stuff and they're available to you. And it was good. I felt like it showed up with stuff. It was like the turnkey thing. It was like once it was super scary and then we did it with the mobile home park too. It was like now we're in it however many thousands of miles away doing it.
Both of you guys are remote.
It's remote. And we spent a lot of time on the phone. The business exists inside my phone.
Did you guys know each other or just happened to meet up randomly?
Randomly. Yep. Yeah, it's crazy. So it just powered on a bit. So 2 years in now, over 2 years of doing it. And we're thankful for our manager and because it's been a crazy year. We're really no desire to travel there right now. And just been letting it chug along best as we can, given everything going on and still demand. as far as that goes. So,
how many times did you visit that property?
Once. I've only ever been there once. The week I bought it. And I could say, isn't that crazy? And we got a good manager. She managed a ton of the properties of, or three or four of the guy's properties that we bought it from. It's a regular human. We learned our lesson actually right off the bat, hiring somebody that was living there in the park that was, you know, one of the low-income tenants. It was a lot of drama that we pretty quickly realized was a mistake.
That's what's hard with mobile home parks is that there's not that infrastructure. There's not a plethora of different third-party property managers in that asset class. So you guys, the two of you guys would have had to gone around and interview specific people and train them how to do it, which is hard if y'all haven't done it.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's, we were lured in by the money and doing it. It seemed great. You know, it's been fine. It's a learning experience, but it's pretty time consuming. And for where I'm at in my life, it's just not the right time. Like I say, it is for sale. We're trying to move on from that and do some other stuff passively.
Okay. How much money do you guys have tied up in it? You got leverage.
I have about 225 tied up into it for me. And I'm hoping to chat with you about deploying that.
You didn't really make money on this. This just got your original down payment back out.
It's under contract to sell. We'll see how in the end we should make some money when it's all done. I'm not going to say what that is until it's all done.
We need to speculate on it now. I'm talking taxes. We need to know. Yeah, maybe it's 50 grand or something like that.
It'd be more like about 70 grand.
Okay.
Is what it would be. But
I can work with that. That's not much. And then maybe you took some depreciation too throughout the couple of years. I don't know, maybe 80 grand. Capital gain plus depreciation recapture, you're thinking?
I think so. You'd have to speculate on that a little bit. Okay. I'd have to look back through that.
Okay. A lot of syndications, you're going to get 50 to 70% of what you put in as passive losses to offset that right away. We can talk about that in a little bit, but the turnkey in Memphis, how's that guy going?
It's just smooth. It's funny. It's super smooth. We had the glitch this year with COVID self, person lost their job. It was like a half payment 1 month, and then I got everything back the next month. It's been super smooth. So far, I've had a couple evictions. That's a big operator. I've been tempted to sell, but I'm like, I don't know why I would deal with it. Just selling it. I don't know. I guess I could do it. It's like, I've only had it for 4 years. So I've just been paying interest, or it's the wrong end of the amortization table.
I wouldn't sell it until you tapped out on deployable capital and then look to sell it.
There's not going to be a lot of money there.
Yeah, and if it's work, if you got a good tenant, that's gold, right? Like a good tenant is a big thing, but the search to get there is a bumpy, costly road to get there. Let's put that on this tab right here. There's like a deployment plan. So you can put on here what you're going to sell to get funds and how you're going to deploy it. That's how to use this tab.
Okay.
But I would say, do you have any other liquid cash that you want to invest, or as we start to transition more into what's the deployment plan now?
The deployment plan is going to be the funds from the mobile home park right now. I have cash sitting around that I'm wondering if I should, this 45,000 or ish cash that comes back in, that's really just the money coming back in from my investments. I could sit on that or not. I'm trying to decide if I should put that like in an AHP type deal, and I just don't know how liquid they are. And
probably get the money back out in a couple months, 2-3 months.
The other thing is there's always the loan from my 401k. You can always do the 50,000 from that pretty quickly too, probably faster than getting that money at AHP too.
I mean, you are running a little fat here on liquidity. I don't think you need that much, maybe 20 or 30 grand. Okay. But you know, I think that's where a lot of conventional financial advice is. You need X amount of expenses. Yeah. You don't really need that if you are able to get it from a credit card line or take it from your Roth IRA, your IRA. You know, you got to get your money in the game. You're not $2 million, $3 million above your...
No, I definitely would. Yeah, I'd like to get it moving. Actually, a question I had though for you, and I think as far as deployment, I was thinking about selling the note. There's two notes up there, just up the page a little bit. One of those is a self-directed IRA. It's fine. But the $30,000 note originally, now it's $25,000 in my name, coming back to me. It seems like I might be better off deploying that into a syndication or something instead of just income. That's taxed like regular income. Yeah. It seems like a better option to move it out of there, sell that and move on and put it into a syndication.
If you're only making 9%, AHP does everything for you and it's both of more ordinary income. But not saying you would go that one specifically. I would say, correct me if I'm wrong here, but invest the mobile home park money, $200,000 there, and then either the note or are you gonna touch any of this, the stock stuff, or are you gonna keep that where it's at?
Right now, I'll probably leave that where it is. Other than I have the ability to pull that $50,000 loan off my 401k.
Yeah, where seemingly unrelated question, but this ties in. What is your adjusted gross income around? As a household?
125.
Okay. You guys don't pay too much taxes. Right? You guys are under the 300 threshold.
This year will be quite a bit different. More. We bought a business last year that's got quite a bit of income. We're trying to get all of our books handled right now. I can't give you an exact number. It won't be crazy high. It'll still be under 200.
Next year, will the business do the same thing?
We're going to try to make sure it does. We have plenty of things we can buy. We'll keep it down. We're pouring money into infrastructure right now. We have enough expenses, I think, that probably
to zero that income out. And that's the goal of the business, right? On taxes. Okay, I'll leave this alone. You can incorporate it in as you feel comfortable with. I would think, since you're not in a high tax bracket, even with the business, to take it out slowly would be the thing to do. If you've heard me multiple times, I don't like these type of retirement plans because you'd rather pay the taxes now, taxes going up, your tax bracket is lower now, and then you don't get the passive losses to play that game from this stuff. But did you take the CARES Act?
Oh, yeah, that's why it's...
Okay. You don't have to decide now, but I would say maybe think about just leaking out 20 to 50 or 100 grand every year.
Through like a 72T thing, or how would you say doing that?
No, just cash it out. Yeah.
Okay.
But I'll just let that stew for you right now.
Yeah, we'll see. Exactly. Yeah, that'll be like a chat with the tax guy.
No, it's not a tax for the tax guy. It's all right here. You don't even talk to a tax guy. I'll tell you about it. It's which way do you want to steer the ship, man?
Yeah.
The tax guy is down in like the engine room telling you what happens when you do it. I'm telling you what's going to happen. We all know.
Just know where your tax bracket is, basically, and how much of it you're going to take, and then just weigh it out from there is what you're saying.
But it's more of a strategy thing, right? You need to do the math on, all right, if you take it out and you start investing in cash, what will the implications be? Will you be making more money there? What kind of losses will you be getting? Will there be cost segregations done? That's what you need. That's your job. That is not the job of your CPA tax person.
Right.
Big thing. It's your number one expense in life. Gotta know what that is. That's not the job of your tax guy. That's unfair for them to plan.
No, I've definitely heard you say that before. It's getting up to speed on that stuff is really a goal this year, just to be dialed in. Have good questions asked.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I would say come to the bubble or get around the other people in our tribe. Those, you're not going to get it from, if you want to pay somebody to tell you how to do it, I think that's costly. You guys can't afford having office consultant under $5 million net worth, but you're going to have to get this from your peer group of other high net worth accredited investors, what they're doing. Okay. So I would highly recommend that. And just getting around other high net worth people is a big thing. And not on the bigger pockets, that's for sure. So I would think about that, maybe taking out maybe 50 or 100 every year and put it to investments. But you got a backlog, you got the mobile home park things first.
Right.
So ideally with the mobile home park thing, the way it's going to work is you sell it in the beginning of the year, so you have the entire year to build up your passive losses.
Okay.
Do you know how much passive losses you currently have just built up?
I don't know.
Go look at your form. I think it's 4825. No, it's not. I don't know. It's 48 something.
Okay.
But it is a form that has all your passive losses on it, your federal depreciation schedules.
Okay.
I would ask your CPA for that.
Right.
If they don't give it to you or they screw around with you, they're playing games. Because this is a big game that CPAs play. They don't like to give it to you because now they know you're shopping for a new CPA. And that form has a lot of built-in formulas and calculations in the spreadsheet. But you might have $20,000 or $30,000 of built-up losses, suspended passive losses to offset that mobile home park sale. So again, I think you said you're looking at maybe an $80,000 capital gain plus depreciation recapture. So if you already had $30,000 to spend in losses, now we're only looking at $50,000 difference.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So if you went into a normal syndication that does 70%, 80% leverage and does a cost seg and 50 cents of every dollar is put back as bonus appreciation year one, you knock that out with a $100,000 investment.
Okay.
But so that's how you, that would probably knock out your, what you're going to get on that mobile home park. Things move super slowly, right? As you've seen, build a mobile home park. It's probably going to be quarter two when you actually sell it. But then you have to go in into another deal before the end of 2021 to kind of book that to offset it.
Right? Yeah. And in your opinion, given where I'm at, would you deploy, do that in multiple chunks into different deals if they're available? $100,000 chunks.
5% rule, right? I don't want you to put more than $150,000 into any one deal. You didn't follow that rule on the mobile home park.
No, I did not.
You went 20% of all in, and probably back then your net worth wasn't as high. So that was breaking a cardinal sin, my friend. But hey, it's real estate, and it works out well most of the time. Yeah,
it's true.
It's a forgiving asset class.
Slow moving and forgiving, yes. Deploying into multiple things this year, that would be hopefully if everything, hopefully deals are available and be able to get that deployed.
It's just like when I sold my, in 2018 or 17, I sold 7 or 8 rentals for a capital gain of $200,000. But I had gotten to deals and I had several $100,000 of passive losses built up. Okay. I used that to offset it. So it's essentially doing the same thing here for you. Okay. Get that done. Then worry about the retirement funds.
That's okay. That's definitely what I'm thinking. I don't want to free stuff up. And like I say, I have the CARES Act distribution, which isn't a huge, because you can chop that up into 3 pieces. So that's not going to add much to our bottom line this year.
I tell it to you now because you got to decide in the next few months whether you're going to really do this crazy idea that Lane's talking about. You're going to take out 30 to 50 grand every year, or 30 to 100 grand every year for the next 3 to 5 years. It's a slow thing. This note that's not in your retirement funds, I would unload that as you can. Just in the same style as unloading the turnkey, like maybe just throw the turnkey on Roofstock. They allow you to list it with a tenant in place. You're not obliged to sell it. You're still making cash flow on it. And then same thing like this note, you can sell it while you're collecting payments at the right price. What I would recommend, you don't want to really sell this in the next few months, but just put it up anyway. Yeah. Just put it up at a make me move price and see what happens.
You get the turnkey or the note, you mean?
Both of them.
Okay. I'll have to look into that. And then,
Maybe squeeze down the liquidity. I don't think you need as much.
Yeah, I can definitely deploy that.
Yeah. Yep. Maybe, I don't know, if you want a little bit of a cash flow stream, maybe throw 20 grand in HP or something like that before their current fund goes away. Pretty straightforward, I think.
Yeah, there's not a ton of moving parts right now. Yeah, it's just, we're waiting on a kind of a load of capital to come in, and then nothing crazy to do right now, I don't think, unless I get that and move forward with that.
Your highest and best use is at your day job. Don't get fired. I don't know what all the business is, but is the business a capital intensive business? You need money to do marketing or...
Not at all. Nope. It's a local service business and we bought it. It was already cash flowing on our finance deals. There's not a lot to it. It's not capital intensive at all. We make money.
If anything, it's just time.
It's time. That's all it is. Yep. Yeah. It's learning how to, we're going to build it up to turn it into an asset to try to possibly sell that too at some point here. We're learning the ropes of that business now too. I guess we're glutton for it. Mobile home park now, service business, just learning.
Yeah. That's, you guys are in a good spot. You got a day job that's probably low stress, makes pretty good money. Yeah. You recognize that you can not put your heart and soul into it and put it somewhere else and make money there. And that's your highest and best use to put your overflow time into the business. I think the only thing for you guys is maybe years down the road, but I don't know, that service-based business, you can turn it into some kind of passive cash flow stream as opposed to, right now it's ordinary, right? It's a business.
Yeah.
But maybe you, when you reposition it, you stabilize it, you sell it off to somebody, but you retain the investor rights. You find some young whippersnapper who wants to trade his time for money, and maybe you're still working in it. Don't get me wrong, but you change your compensation from an ordinary income business to more of a K-1 passive stream. So that's a conversation you could have with your CPA, but follow me here. You're the one steering this conversation. They're not going to tell you, oh, Chris, we should turn this into passive income so we can take your passive losses that you have a glut of and offset that. They're not going to come up with that stuff.
Yeah.
that's not their job. Their job is not to transform your life.
Okay. Yeah, I need to get more education around that and just to know the right question to ask my guy at this point. That's certainly a goal this year.
I don't know if that's possible in your business. We have some doctors, they own a medical clinic and that's how they do it. So they changed the color of money from ordinary to passive. So now they're able to use the passive losses to offset their income.
Okay.
And they don't need to be real estate professionals to do that.
Okay. Yeah. That's the goal you nailed it. Yeah. Finding the young whippersnapper and all that to get them. It would be a good, it's not a high tech job.
Who cares if you're getting paid top dollar? I don't know what your salary from that, but like maybe you're making $100,000 a year from that business. Who cares if it's 50 or 60,000? Young whippersnapper doesn't get the game, doesn't get the big picture. You're getting paid in the passive income color of money, which you can drive down to zero with your other stuff going on.
Yep. That's the goal. We're just building it right now. It's slightly more time consuming.
Where your guys' AGI is, getting real estate professional status, I don't think is a big deal. You don't really need it. But that's more for the guys above 300,000 a year. Does your spouse work?
She runs the business. She's the sole owner.
Okay. We could make you sole owner and free her up. If you made a lot more money at your day job, if some people are listening, that would be a move that we'd look into. But from where you're at, the way you guys are doing it is optimal, I think.
Okay. It's just where we are now. It's learning as we go and seeing what works best for us. And this is best right now.
It sounds like you might need a new CPA.
We're in the hunt for that right now, actually.
There's a section in the e-course currently that has how do you interview a new CPA.
Okay.
But I would ask them in your situation, like, hey, I have this business. Can you tell me about changing this money from ordinary income to passive income and how that would happen? Well, if I were able to do this, how would the passive loss, would I be able to use my passive loss to offset my passive income for my business?
That's the main point of doing that, is to offset the passive losses from your investments. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you want to ask in that, at least that's my style, how you ask in not a stump the chump question, tell me about non-conservation easements, right? Like you want to have a dialogue with them and just feel them out and see if you can work with them. If I have a lot of passive losses, how can I use them? Mm-hmm. They're like, no, you can't do that. That's a business. You can't do that. Then you're not working with somebody who's open-minded.
Who's creative.
Maybe they just don't have the experience.
Okay.
I think that's one way you can ask. That's at least my style. In our mastermind, we have people do it different ways to vet the CPA, but that's my style. I go in there. How can I use the passive losses to offset this income right here? They're like, oh, you can't do it. That's not someone who you want to work with. Okay. We want somebody who's, okay, so this is ordinary income and you can't offset it with passive income. It's your most professional.
Okay.
If you are able to change it from ordinary to passive, right? Like your notes, for example, that's ordinary.
Yeah. Yep.
So to have that intellectual conversation with your CPA is important. And that's maybe you have to get up to that level yourself too.
I definitely need to get there, but I feel like I can have a conversation with them.
I think that's what's hard for a lot of CPAs. Like most of their people coming through the door are totally clueless on this stuff. They're like, oh my goodness, another sucker. You're only going to have to do 401ks or self-directed Roths. Sorry, buddy. That's all you got. They know you don't have anything else cooking, just like the average American out there.
Right. Yeah. I've been on the hunt really for somebody for a while that's at least going to ask me good questions too. And I'm willing to pay for it for a while for sure. We're going to figure that out this year.
Cool, Chris. I appreciate you doing this. I think a lot of people followed your little journey out to the mobile home park.
Yeah, I'm glad to chat with anybody about that. Yeah, there's a lot of stories.
But yeah, I guess if you guys haven't, please check out the website and join our clubs, fullpassivecashflow.com/club. And we'll see you guys next time.
This website offers very general information concerning real estate for investment purposes. Every investor situation is unique. Always seek the services of licensed third-party appraisers and inspectors to verify the value and condition of any property you intend to purchase. Use the services of professional title and escrow companies and licensed tax, investment, and/or legal advisor before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, as in every investment there is risk. The content found here is just my opinion, and things change, and I reserve the right to change my mind. Above all else, do your own analysis and think for yourself, because in the end, you are the only person who is going to look out for your best interests.
The proceeding is not tax, legal, or investment advice, nor an offer to sell securities or investment products. Always make informed decisions with professional guidance. Get educated and surround yourself with a community at thewealthelevator.com/club.